It's a very special kavod for me to be able to come to this wonderful, wonderful organization of Eitaim. I thank Rav Shaul Rosen, I thank Rav Naftali Weiss, I thank all the officers of Eitaim. Brindy, I can't thank you enough for the article that you allowed yourself to be written up. So many, many people got such inspiration from it. I know that there were family members who felt that you shouldn't just expose your history, but the fact that you are willing to do it, David should bench you. Besides Eitaim, and those of you who know me know that Eitaim is one of my favorite organizations. There's a woman here who just told me from Great Neck that the only reason she knows about Eitaim is because I spoke about it on another tape that had nothing to do with Eitaim. But there's a great organization right back there. It's called TorahAnytime.com. Shimon Kol Yaakov is one of the Sfarish Tzadikim in our generation. And every time I sneeze, he's there with the tissue because he's always there videoing, and I appreciate that he comes, and they also need chizuk, but really, thousands and thousands of shiurim are recorded by them, and so this great combination of Eitaim and TorahAnytime.com makes me feel very honored to be here, and I hope that we'll be able to be inspired together. We've gathered today in a very special month, in the month of Nisim. In the month of miracles, anything can happen, and anything can happen in the month of Kislev. As a matter of fact, there are so many Nisim that happened in Kislev. And when we are going to say Al HaNisim Mitz Hashem, so many of them are delineated, and yet Klal Yisrael seems to celebrate only one very, very special way. If you read the Al HaNisim, you find that one of the miracles was Giboyrim Biyad Chaloshim. The Geboirim, the Syrians, the Greeks, they were fighting a war. And all the Talmidim, all the Tzaddikim that were fighting against them, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan and all those in the Maccabim, all those that fought, they were able to be victorious. So there was a Melchoma that won, in the time of Hanukkah. Rabin Biad Miyatim, Klal Yisrael was outnumbered, Temeim Biad Tahorim, Rishayim Biad Tzaddikim. And yet, what do we celebrate? We celebrate with Neiros. We celebrate with candles. We don't put up any banners that we won the war. The only thing that we do is we talk about the Neiros, and every night is a ribuy of Neiros. And to me, this is so special because Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. What is the neshama of a person? That's the Ner Hashem. The spark of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the neshama of man. And so it's my bracha, the brachas hedyot, to every single one of you, that just as in this month, there will be a ribuy of neiros, there should be a ribuy of neshamais, ner Hashem nishmas Adam, and no one should give up, no one should be down. We all come here at this great organization, this great conference, to give chizuk to each other. And it's so important for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that there should be a ribuy neshamos. You know why? Because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Aleph tells us, Ein ben David bo ad sheyichlu neshamos shebaguf. There's a certain storage place, Rashi tells us. And this storage place, Oitzer Yesh Ushmoy Guf, the name of this storage place is Guf. And all the neshamos that have to be born before Mashiach are stored in this Oitzer. And Mashiach is not going to come until all the neshamas are cleared out of that guf. So if Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, and in Kislev there'll be a ribuy of neiros, there should be a ribuy of neshamas by all of you. Should be able to have children and twins and triplets, and have no rachmanis if you have two sets of triplets. You should have many, many children. You should be zeichet to see children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren so that Mashiach should be able to come. This is not the first time that I've spoken for Eitaim. Tonight I'm speaking for Bnei Olam, and I've spoken for them in Los Angeles and other places. And in London I spoke for a similar organization called Chana. And every single time that I come, whether it's the Eitaim, Bnei Olam, or Chana, I always apologize in the beginning. And I ask every single one of you for mechila. Because what right does anyone have to come to an organization, a person who has children and grandchildren, Baruch Hashem and Mitzvah Hashem, you should all have the same. How can anybody who is not in your position dare think that they can give chizuk and they could give advice. You know, one of the greatest friends that Eitam ever had was a woman that we all admired and revered, and that was Rebbetzin Zahava Bronstein, Allah Shalom. I remember once we were at a tremendous Shabbaton. I'll never forget that Shabbaton. Zahava and her husband was there. Zahava used to speak many, many times for Eitam. And I remember there's another organization called Neshei Cares in Borough Park. And for many, many years, Zahava and I, Yibod L'chaim, we used to be the two speakers that would speak for Neshei Cares. And one year, the topic was Chesed with the ill and the grieving. In other words, how to be Mavaka Chayla. How to go be Menachem Avel. Many people say such silly things to Nebuch Almonas or Yisaimim and Yisaimais. And many people will say such silly things to people that are sitting in a hospital. And so Rebbetzin Lubling and us and the two of us, we got together and we tried to put together a speech about how to be Mavaka Chayla and how to be Menachem Avel. And so I interviewed many people who had been sick. And I interviewed many people who Nebuch had been sitting Shiva. And Peh Echad, every single one of them said, the worst thing that you could say to a person that's sick or a person that's sitting Shiva is, I know how you feel. What do you mean you know how you feel? You didn't lose your husband. You didn't lose your wife. You didn't lose your child. You're not sitting in a hospital. What do you mean you know I know how you feel? That's the worst. So how could anybody get up here and say, I know how you feel? I don't know how you feel. And I want to show you what kind of Am Oretz I am in this field. I want to tell you a story. It's mamish embarrassing. But I want to tell it to you because I want to bring out a point. I have a Rebbe that I'm very close to. I just don't want to mention his name for the moment. And I've been learning with him for many, many, many years, for decades. There's not one topic in this universe that he and I have not discussed. There was only one topic that I couldn't talk to him about because it was so painful to him. And that was his son, who at the time of this story was married 5 years and had no children. Now, I don't know till this day what Gemara we were learning that suddenly I blurted out something which normally I would never have said, but somehow it just came up in the conversation. And I said to him, I feel so bad for your son. And I mentioned his son's name. He's married 5 years and he has no children. And he looked me straight in the face and he said, it's not 5 years, it's 60 months. And when he said that, I wanted to crawl under the table. Because five, what's five? One, two, three, four, five. No, but if you don't feel that pain and you cannot put yourself in that position, you don't realize that every month there's the hope, the buildup, the anticipation, and then the pain and the disappointment and the frustration and the anger. So if somebody could make a comment 5 years when it's really 60 painful months, then that person really cannot say that they can identify. So I'm not coming here today to identify with you. I'm coming here to accompany you. Imoy Anoichi Betzara. Imoy Anoichi Betzara, as much as I can, I daven for so many of you, so many that I know personally. And it's my hope that by next year, this time, you'll all have little children. And if you have boys, even if you don't use me as a moel because I don't have a beard, I'll be happy to give you a yarmulke, just like I did today. I gave some yarmulkes at the Brisson with little Hanukkah candles on it. Free, don't worry. I won't even charge you. Just call me and tell me that we met here 8 times before Hanukkah and you had a baby. You don't even have to use me as a moel. You can even call me if you have a girl. How do you like that? So we're going to talk about certain midrashim. We're going to talk about certain chazal. And I'm going to tell you certain stories. And hopefully we'll be able to be inspired and encouraged together. You know that I am a moel, and there's a Gemara that struck me. The Gemara tells us something very interesting. You know, the whole order of the Shemoneh Esrei, it's not just stam that the first bracha or the second bracha just happened to be haphazard. There's a reason why a certain bracha is the fifth one, why a certain bracha is the seventh one. And the Gemara in Megillah, Yud Zayin Amud Beis, goes through all the reasons. One of the Gemaras over there tells us, Uma ro'u loimar refuah
b'shminis. Rifa'enu, if you count it tonight, or when you daven mincha ma'ariv, you'll see it's the eighth bracha. Why is Rifa'enu the eighth bracha? Why did Chazal choose to make it the eighth one? Omer Rabacha. So Rabacha says, Mipnei metoichshen itna mila b'shminis, because a baby has his bris on the eighth day of life, leficha kavua b'shminis. That's why, because every baby that has the bris mila needs a refuah shleima. So therefore, that's why the bris is normally done on the eighth day. So that's why the bracha is done on the eighth day. And that's why the Shemoneh Esrei, it's the eighth bracha. But I think that perhaps, avada, what the Gemara is saying, of course, is true. But I think that perhaps there is a deeper reason. And you know, if you think about it, the number eight is very, very special. A man who wears tzitzis wears eight strings on his beged. You know, I'm going to tell you a great story, because I know you're in the mood for a great story after all the doctor stuff this morning. Listen to this story, just about tzitzis. It's in the new book. It's the funniest story in the book. And I usually don't print funny stories, but this is so great that I just had to print it. There's a Baal Tshuva who called me a few weeks ago. He had a shiloh with a bris, and he tells me he became a Baal Tshuva in 1997. And he said he became through Partners in Torah, which we're going to talk about later. And he was so nespoiled about Yediyas HaTorah, learning Torah, that he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn in a place called Machon Shlomo. And he's learning there. He told me he was wearing tzitzis when he went to Eretz Yisrael, but he once heard a shir about tzitzis from Rav Yaakov Rosenberg. He was so nespoiled. What was he nespoiled about? Something that many of us know. The Rebbe said to him in the class that tzitzis is begamatria 600. Tzadik is 90 and Yud is 10, so that's 100, 200? Well, no, 100, right? And then Tzadik and Yud again is another 100, that's 200. And Tof is 400, that's 600. You got eight strings, that's what made me think about it. And five knots, so it's 613. So the Rebbe said, anybody who wears tzitzis, so you have a connection to all 613 mitzvahs. The guy figures, whoa, I'm a Baal Tshuva. I can have a connection to all 613 mitzvahs. That's great. He swore to himself he will never miss a day without tzitzis. He comes back, he lives in Silver Spring, Maryland, he gets married, he has kids, and he tells me every day the routine is the same, every day. He goes to shul, gets into his car, drives to Virginia, that's where he works, and he has his first coffee in Virginia. Never does he have a coffee in his own house, he just has no time. One day he's driving in Silver Spring, Maryland, and he's on the way to work. He's at Route 29 and University Boulevard, and all of a sudden he's got this tremendous craving for a coffee. And he's thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm going to have a coffee in 20 minutes when I get to work. But he had to have his coffee. He gets off, gets into a shop, gets a coffee, gets back into his car, and he's driving a stick shift car. So, you know, you're trying to balance the steering wheel, the stick shift, and the coffee. In 20 seconds, the coffee spilled all over him. Now, he can't go to work this way. He has to go back home. He goes back home. He takes off his shirt. He can't believe it. He's not wearing tzitzis. It's the first time in years. He can't believe it. And he's like, El Chabal Tshuva. He said, oh, thank you, Hashem. You made me spill my coffee, because if not, I would have gone a whole day without tzitzis. He puts on a fresh shirt. He goes back and he drives by that corner, University Boulevard and Route 29. You know what that corner is called? You won't believe it. Four Corners. Could you believe it? You can look it up. In Lakewood, there's also another place, Four Corners. But Four Corners. So then I couldn't get over it. So the next morning, I was at a bris. So they asked me to speak at the bris. I said, Rabbi, I'll be happy to speak at the bris, but I got to tell you this great story. And everybody's laughing hysterically. My Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, is there. I said to Rav David, I need a good title for this story. So he said, I have the best title, Fringe Benefits. So, fine. So eight is very special, not only in tzitzis, but eight, the Kohen, who wears eight vestments, that's the Big Day Kahuna. That's also the number eight. As a matter of fact, what else is special about eight? The harp of Mashiach. The Gemara tells us, very interesting, Kinar shel Migdash shel Shiva Nimin v'shel Yemois HaMashiach Shmoina. The harp of the Mashiach is going to be with eight strings. Eight is very special. Eight is l'mayla m'derech hateva. As a matter of fact, it's incredible that Yeshua, that took Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, he was the eighth generation from Avram Avinu. Avram, Yitzchok, Yankov, Levi, Kahos, Amram, Moshe, Yeshua. He was the eighth. Not only that, we know that Yeshua wrote a chelik of the Torah. How many psukim did he write? The last 8 psukim. Those of you, and many of you certainly say Tillim, you know, in Perek Kuf Yutes, it's 176 psukim. It's the longest of all the Kapitlach Tillim. How is it divided? Certain amount of psukim Aleph, certain amount of psukim Beis, Gimel, Dalet, all of them. How many? 8. 8 is very special. As a matter of fact, Torah was given at the beginning of the 8th week, after 7 weeks, when Klal Yisrael, after the first night of Pesach, we count Sfira, after 7 full weeks, the beginning of the 8th week, that's when Kabbalah Satorah was. You take a look in Tillim, Perik Yutes, Lam Natseach, Mizum Ladovet, Hashemayim, Masaparim, Kvoid Kale. You're talking about all the wonders of the world. What's the 8th Pasuk? Teiras Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nofesh. All these things point out to us that 8 is Lamaila Maderach HaTeva. And if that's the case, I believe that that's the reason why Refuah is the 8th Bracha. Because the Gemara tells us, "V'rapo yirape mikan sheniten rishus leroyfe lerapois." The Eibishter gives permission for the doctors to heal, but the Eibishter does not give permission for the doctors to say it's hopeless. You know why refuah is the 8th? Because 8 is lamaila min haderech hateva. Every woman, every man here should know there's no such thing that a miracle can't happen. Tomorrow, Tuesday, in England, there's a fellow who I'm very close to. How many hours we cried together? 17 years he's married. He just had his first child. The baby, the bris is going to be Tuesday in England, in Golders Green. Tzvi Khan and his wife. 17 years. There's no such thing that Yocheved Khan's son, of those of you who know London. There's no such thing that a miracle can't happen. That's why refuah is the 8th. That's why you should never give up hope. And I'll tell you another thing. Somebody once went to the Chazon Ish and asked him a shaila about a certain thing. But he said, "Rebbe, I hope you don't mind that I'm asking you to give me a bracha on this. I know the Gemara says, Lav b'chol yoyma misrachesh nisa. Not every day does a miracle happen. The Gemara in Psachim Nunam at Beis. Zok the Chazon Ish to him, you read the Gemara wrong. You know how you're supposed to read the Gemara? Lav! No! B'chol yoyma misrachesh nisa. Every day miracles happen. That's how you read the Gemara. You got to put the comma in the right place. Not lav b'chol yoyma nisrachesh nisa. Not every day the miracles happen. Lav, no. B'chol yoyma nisrachesh nisa. What, and this didn't happen in Golders Green? It could happen in Brooklyn. It could happen any place. And every person has to know we're Yidden. David still loves us. For whatever reason, we're going through the matzavim. But if a goy could have a baby, and we know goyim all over the world are having babies, you think the Eibishter loves them more than you? No, chas v'shalom. The Eibishter loves you. He can do anything for you. Nobody should ever give up hope, especially in the month of Kislev. Now's the time to have kavana in refa'enu. And you can ask for the miracle. Why not love b'chol yoyma misrach ha'shnisa? Every day a miracle can happen. So I want to tell you a story that happened with me. I'm no great Rebbe, you all know that. But I'll tell you a story that happened in Long Island. I was in Merrick, Long Island, and after a bris, I was washing up, and I see a lady's crying. I don't know what possessed me, but you can tell whether if a woman is crying from pain or from joy. She was crying from pain. I went over to her. I said, "I see that you're upset. Is there anything that I could do?" She said, "No, Rabbi, I don't want to talk about it." I said, "Listen, I just want to tell you, you never know when you could get some advice, and besides, the mere fact that you talk it out is helpful." She says, "Okay, Rabbi," this is not from people. She says, "This is the third time that you're in this house. This is the third son that my friend has. What does God want from me? Why can't I have children?" And she starts crying, and I didn't know where to hide. I have to tell her something, right? I told her to talk. So I said, "I want to tell you something. I want to give you advice, and I want you to follow the advice, not because it's my advice. It's because of the advice of the holy rabbis of the Talmud." I couldn't even say the word Gemara. She wouldn't know what I'm talking about. And I told her the famous Gemara. And the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama Tzadik Beis Amar Aleph, Kol HaMavakesh Rachmim Al Chaveiroi, V'hu Tzorach Lo'is Adovar. Anybody who davens for somebody else and they need that thing, they're going to be answered first. I said, "Listen, your fertility problem, it's not my business. Don't tell it to me. Whether it's you or your husband, that's not my business. You want to share it, that's fine, but you don't have to. Go to your doctor. Find out somebody who has that problem and pray for them. You'll see you'll be answered first." I took her name, her mother's name, I put it in the Shaar Torah list around the corner from the yeshiva where I live, and told her to give tzedakah, and I forgot about the story. A year later, a lady calls me up. I have no idea who she is. She says, Rabbi Krohn, do you remember who I am? I said, listen, thank God, I see people every day. Who are you? She says, I'm that lady in Merrick, Long Island. I said, oh my, why are you calling? She said, I'm calling from North Shore Hospital. She said, I want you to know, ever since that day, I was praying for a friend of mine, and today I had a boy. And I said to her, I can't believe it, you made my day. And she said to me words that if I live to 160, I'll never forget. She said, Rabbi, I may have made your day, but you made my life. And that bris and the one that I did for her 2 years later when she had another boy were from the greatest that I ever did. So all of you know this chazal, that if you find somebody who has your problem and you daven for them, but I want to tell you a new pshat in the Gemara. And this pshat is maybe something that we should think about. Listen to this unbelievable diuk that I heard from a Rav Schechter in Montreal. Listen how he teaches the Gemara. We know the simple meaning is kalam avakesh rachmim al chaveroi. Anybody who davens for his friend, and you need that thing, you'll be answered first. What does that mean? You know somebody, you want to have your own child. You know somebody else who wants a child. So you daven for them and you'll be answered first. But the way he teaches the Gemara, anybody who davens for his friend, and he needs it, that his friend should have the baby. He has such pain for his friend that he needs it, that they should have the baby. Not only that he's davening that he should have the child, he needs that the friend should have it. Oh, azad davening. That's what the Eibishter answers. We have to feel the pain of each other so that we need that our friend should have a child. Whether we get answered or not, we want them to be happy. And people ask me, oh, shaloi lishma, you really davening for somebody else, you really mean yourself? There's nothing wrong with that. The Chazal teach us la'olam, always. A person should learn mitzvah shaloi lishma bo lishma. A person has to begin learning shaloi lishma. And then when he sees how geshmak it is, that's when he davens. And that's when he gets to understand the geshmak in learning. You daven for somebody else, even though you mean yourself, that's okay. Then when you see it works, oh boy, then you're going to start davening. How do we get our tefillos answered? We daven so much. I'm sure there's so many tzaddikim and tzidkaniyos here who daven. I'll give you two ways. Again, not my ways. The ways of Heilige Chazal. And the Gemara in Tainis, Chofeyam and Beis tells us a story. There was a time when there was no rain. And they went to Rabbi Lezer and they asked Rabbi Lezer, please daven. And he davened and there was still no rain. And then they went to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, they said, Rabbi Akiva, daven, please, there's no rain. All the crops will be spoiled in Eretz Yisrael. We won't be able to have any food. And he davened, and it rained. So everybody said, oh, you see, Rabbi Akiva is bigger than Rabbi Lezer. All of a sudden, the Baskal came from Shemayim and said, and teaches us something very important. Yotza Baskal v'yomra. A voice came from Shemayim and said, Loi mipnei shezeh godol mizeh. Not because Rabbi Akiva is a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Lezer. That's why Rabbi Akiva's tefillah was answered. Ela mipnei shezeh mavir al midosav. Vizeh eina mavir al midosav. Rabbi Akiva was able to look away if somebody said something to him that was painful. How many times do people say something to us about our family, about our situation, and it's painful? And we want to lash out at them, and we would be right. How do they say something like that? Oh, but if you could look away, Hashem says, you know, you looked away, I'm going to look away. None of us are perfect. All of us need, Hashem should sometimes, kaviyochel, look away from what we really do so that Hashem should answer our tefillos. How do we get that midah keneged midah? If a person is mavir al midosav, he's able to look away if somebody says something about themselves. Now, we're not talking a financial loss. You have every right to get the money back. But if somebody says something painful and you don't lash out at them, mavir al midosav, you're able to look away, oh, then Hashem is going to look away. That's what Rabbi Akiva, he had that midah. That's why his tefillah was answered. Maybe from this Heilige conference, we have to make a Kabbalah on ourselves and our personalities. That if somebody says something to us that's painful, we're not going to lash out. We're going to just swallow it. And it's painful, but we'll become that vatron. And when we become that vatron, we look away. Oh, then the Eibishter is going to look away and give us what we need. Does anybody, by the way, know what tefillah Rabbi Akiva made up that day? for a free soft cover Magid book. Oh, who said that? Very good. Soft cover, coming to you. He's right. Avinu Malkeinu. But there's another way. There's another way that perhaps all of us can change our approach and we'll get our tefillos answered again from the Chofetz Chaim, not from me. The Chofetz Chaim gives a gewaldik, a mashal. He says, imagine you want to build a shtender. You want to build a table, a chair. You got to have tools, right? You got to have a saw. You got to have a hammer. But what if you have a saw that has no teeth? Or a hammer that has no handle? No. So you'll put together a chair. A kid will say, oh, it looks like a chair. And maybe we'll say, no, that's not a chair. It's nothing. It's not a table. He didn't have the right tools. Every word of tefillah that we say, it's created a malach. If we want that malach to be complete, we have to have our tool has to be perfect. Our mouth has to be perfect. We cannot say a lie. We cannot say a word that's painful to a spouse, to a coworker, to a rav, to a principal, to anyone. We cannot say any lashon hara or rechilus. If a person watches their mouth, Dr. Chofetz Chaim, then when they daven, so the malachim that they create are perfect, they go to Shemayim. It's a different type of malach. It's not a crippled malach coming to Shemayim. A heilige malach, a complete malach, is going to get his tefillos answered. So what we have to learn to do today is even before we walk into the shul. Become that person that's willing to look away. Be careful you don't say anything off color. Be careful that you don't say something that's not true. Be careful that you don't say something that's painful to somebody else. Thank you, Shimon. And when a person is that careful, and a person watches his mouth or watches their mouth, that mouth builds perfect malachim, and memela tefillos can be answered. But I want to tell you something else about tefillah. A different type of tefillah. You know, the Gemara tells us that Chizkiah, Hashem was going to make Chizkiah Mashiach. But Hashem said, the Midas Adin said, what do you mean Chizkiah Mashiach? You gave him so many victories in battle, and he didn't say thank you. He didn't say Shirois Vistish Bachais. To Gemara Sanhedrin, Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, that's why he cannot be Mashiach. We learn a great lesson here. Part of davening is hakaras hatoiv. Part of making a connection to Hashem is saying thank you. Many times we focus on what we don't have. Saying thank you, being makir toiv, is a way of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, David HaMelech says, Pischuli sharei tzedek, ovoi vom oideko. Pischuli sharei tzedek. Open up the gates of the Beis Medrash, the gates of the shul. And I'm going to say thank you. That's part of the davening that we have to do. Of course, we're focused on eight times what we don't have. But many of us have wonderful things. We have a DH or a DW, right? Dear wife and dear husband. I read these things, right? If you have that and he's a nice guy or she's nice, something to be grateful for, right? Something to be grateful. Give us thap and say, thank you, Hashem. Have a wonderful, supportive husband. When was the last time anybody davened like that? No lying, please. Right? Those of you who have a good job, a lot of people out there have lost their jobs. $1 trillion has been lost. $1 trillion. The next couple months are not going to be easy. If you have a good job, you ever stop and say, thank you, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I wasn't laid off. I have a job. My husband has a job. Pischuli sharei tzedek ovoivom oideko. You have a house? You have a nice apartment? You have a great organization like A-Time? Anybody ever stop and say, Moedim, thank you, Hashem, for Shirley Rosen. Thank you for Naftali Weiss. Thank you for Brindy. Thank you for all the volunteers. You ever thank Hashem? What was a woman in this situation or a man 30 years ago? Shamed, embarrassed, hopeless. I guarantee you, half of you will not be here next year. You know why? Statistics show half of you are going to have children. It's Hashem. There's no question. It's not a suffix. Every year it's that way. So how did it happen? Who pulled you through? A-Time. You ever thank Hashem for A-Time? Saying thank you is a way of making a connection. And I think that if we begin saying thank you, not only to Hashem, but to each other, we'll be different people. I'll tell you a great story about saying thank you. It's a little embarrassing. It has to do with me, but it's a great story. I have the opportunity, as Rabbi Weiss mentioned, to do a lot of traveling. So I don't know if you ever traveled to Canada with Air Canada at LaGuardia Airport. Air Canada at LaGuardia Airport is like a big U. You go through security, and then you go through to the gate where your plane is going to take off. Now, my gate is always gate 40. No matter what airport, I'm always way at the end. Fine. So I remember a couple months ago, my wife and I were in Atlanta. I take a look, boarding gate 1. I said, Mim, it's impossible. I can't have gate 1. It's impossible. Sure, I go through security. Gate 1 starts at the other end. That's how it is in Atlanta. Fine. So I go through LaGuardia, gate 40, you know, Toronto, way on the other end. And I'm sitting there with my laptop. I'm waiting, you know, for, you know, to call that everybody should board the plane. All of a sudden, I see everybody's looking up. Like, they're looking up. Something's going on. You know, after a while, you catch on. What's going on? Ooh, vey. There's two security guards. They're going through every gate. They're looking to see, they're looking to find someone. And I'm thinking, who are they looking for? Osama? Like, well, what is going on here? But okay, fine. They come, they go through all the gates, they come to our gate, and they walk over to me. Oh. Everybody's looking, you know, oh, who is this guy? I stand up, I say, excuse me, officer, is there anything that I could help you with? One of the guys takes out a cell phone. He says, is this your cell phone? I said, of course not. Mine's in my pocket. Oui, vey. Oui, vey, vey, vey. I start searching. I can't believe it. It's always in my left pocket. Here, here. I can't believe it. I take a look. That's my phone. I said, officer, I can't believe it. You got my phone. How did you get my phone? He said, well, you went through security. You had 5 bins. You know, you had so much stuff. And you only took 4. You left the fifth one there. You left your cell phone. I said, I can't thank you enough. You know, I have 400 numbers programmed in my phone. Imagine what it would have been if I would have to reprogram 400 numbers. So I can't thank you enough. I said, officer, I just want to ask you something. How'd you recognize me? There's 2,000 people at this terminal. So I thought for sure he was going to say, you're the only guy with a black hat. That's what I thought he would say. That's not what he said. He said, do you remember what you said to us when you walked through the gate, the security? I said, no, what'd I say? He said, you walked through the gate and you looked at both of us and you said, thank you, gentlemen, for being here. 10,000 people go through our security gate. Not one guy says thank you. You said thank you. We were going to find you if you were the last guy in the terminal. Could you imagine? Besides the Kiddush Hashem. I mean, you know, don't we feel safer because they're there? Would you like to have their job? Would you like to smell 5,000 pairs of shoes a day? You ever think of it that way? What kind of job is that? Somebody's got to do it, right? So wherever I go, I tell people this story about saying thank you. Wherever I go. So a couple weeks, a guy comes over to me. He says, you know, you won't believe it. I was traveling in Kennedy Airport, Air Canada. So I guess, you know, the security guards, you know, they change Air Canada from LaGuardia to Kennedy. So this friend of mine who, you know, he heard my speech. So he goes over to the guy at Air Canada in Kennedy. He says, thank you for being here. So the guy says to him, well, you heard the rabbi's speech? Could you imagine? Thank you is a way of making a connection. Not only to each other, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We have to begin making. You want to hear a connection? I'll tell you a connection. It's unbelievable. Also, it's in the new book. Fabulous. What does it mean to make a connection? In Eretz Yisrael, there's a guy. His name is Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb. Rabbi Yosef hasn't missed a minyan in 30 years. Wherever he goes, right? Wherever he goes, he doesn't miss a minyan. So a year and a half ago, the guy comes home, 3 o'clock in the morning from a chasana. He realizes, oy, Rabbi Hashem, I didn't have ma'ariv yet. So if he didn't have ma'ariv, that means he didn't have a minyan. Where in the world are you going to get a minyan 3 o'clock in the morning? So if you're in Flatbush, you go to Landau's, right? And if you're in Borough Park, you go to Shemesh Shabbos. You meet all the Lakewood guys coming home from a late date, right, before they go back. So you see, you know, Shemesh Shabbos you got. If you're in Bnei Brak, you go to Itzkowitz, on Rehov Rabbi Akiva. What are you going to do in Yerushalayim? You go to Zichron Moshe. It's no problem. Zichron Moshe, like a minyan factory. The guy comes there 3:15 a.m. He's looking around for a minyan. He sees one guy there. He says, excuse me, did you down with a minyan? Did you down my tonight? He says, no. He says, you think we'll have a minyan? He said, what are you kidding? It's 3:15. In an hour and a half, it's going to be Vasikin. They're not going to have a minyan. He says, but I got to have a minyan. I haven't missed a minyan in 30 years. He said, what's the matter? You saying Kaddish? No, I'm not saying Kaddish for 30 years. I just like to make a connection to Hashem with a minyan. Listen to what this guy thinks of. He calls an Israeli cab company. He says, send me 8 cabs with 8 Israeli drivers. An einfall of a yid. So the God company said, 8 cabs? Who's got 8 cabs? 3 o'clock in the morning. How many you got? 5. Send you 5. He calls another cab company. 3 drivers, only Israeli drivers with 3 cabs. 10 minutes later, 8 cabs come rolling up to Zichron Moshe. All Israeli drivers want to know, what's going on here? Where's the minyan? Where's the chasana? Where's the wedding? What are we doing at 3 o'clock in the morning? The guy says, Rabotai, everybody start your meters and come into the shul. Some of the guys, he had to give yarmulkes, these secular guys. He says, Rabotai, I don't care what it costs me. I haven't missed a minyan in 30 years. We're going to daven ma'ariv together. And then I'll pay each one of you. So these guys, I mean, they just can't believe it. So some guys were from, they knew ma'ariv. Other guys, Israelis, they know how to read Hebrew. They don't know what ma'ariv is. 25 minutes it took to finish ma'ariv. Afterwards, he goes over to the first guy, says, excuse me, sir, how much I owe you? Guy says, I've been davening all my life. Never did I daven in such a heilig minyan. You're ready to pay 8 guys on the meter. I wouldn't take a penny from you. He goes over to the second guy, the secular guy who came. He says, how much I owe you? He says, sir, I haven't been in a synagogue in years. Haven't prayed in years. Tonight, you had me daven. You had me pray. I should pay you. Not you should pay me. Not one guy took a penny. Not one of them. All came 3 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because they saw Mesiras Nefesh for a mitzvah. They saw a connection. That's what we have to do. We have to start connecting. When somebody says thank you to you, you want to give that person again. Because the person is Makir Toiv. There's a lot of good that we have in this world. Even everyone in this situation, there's a lot of good. There's good marriages and good homes and good parnosas and good organizations. There's a lot of wonderful things. Of course, we all want children and grandchildren. And mitzvah Hashem, that will happen. And it should happen b'koroiv. But that's not a reason not to say thank you. That's not a reason only to cry by Shema Kaleinu and forget about Moedim. From tonight on, we have to make a list of all the good things that we have in life. The family, the friends, the nephews and the nieces. Love them. Care for them. They need you. You're their aunt. You're their uncle. Of course it's going to be painful. But it's not their fault. It's not their fault. Try as good as you can. And then when you say thank you to Hashem that you have such a supportive group and such a supportive family, then things begin to happen. You make that connection. That's what the Rabbeinu Shlalom wants to see. I just want to end this segment of the talk with one of the greatest insights that I ever heard in my life. They asked the Kloisenberger Rebbe, they said, how could it be, and we have in this room now, people, Holocaust survivors, they built children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They went through Gehenna itself. How could they build it? How could they build it? And you know what the Rebbe said? The answer is 2 words. And everybody was wondering, what are these 2 words? What does it mean? He said, B'domayich chayi. B'domayich chayi means in your blood you shall live. So normally you say it by a bris, because the Yidden had to have a bris when they went out of Mitzrayim. And there's bris, there's blood by a bris. That was Mesiras Nefesh, because they had the bris and they had to run out. So they had Mesiras Nefesh with blood, chayi, they're going to live because of that Mesiras Nefesh. We say it the night of the Seder because they shechted Avoy the Zara of the Goyim, the Shepsalah. And that was blood. They were willing to do it in front of the Goyim. They weren't afraid. B'domayich of that blood, chayi, they shall live. What's it got to do? What's it got to do with the question? And the Rebbe said something ingenious. The Torah tells us that when Aaron HaKohen's children died, vayidoim Aaron. Aaron was quiet. B'domayich doesn't only mean in their blood. B'domayich means in their quietness. And they're not focusing on the negative. And they're not focusing on what they don't have. So many of them, including Rav Naftali's father, who I had the schus to meet in England, could have said, if that's what you made me go through, I'm out of here. I can't be a Shemesh Shabbos. I can't be an Elul Chayit after so many people went through all that, including myself. But instead of focusing on the negative, B'domayich, they were quiet. Chayi, oh, they could live. That's what we have to learn to do. Until the child comes, until the family comes, let's focus on the positive. Let's focus on all the good that we have. And then with that, we can be Makir Toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with that, we can build. You know, after the war, They asked the Ger Rebbe, who was able to survive and to get out of Ger in Europe, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and they asked him, Rebbe, please write a letter of chizuk to all the people, to all the Ger Chassidim all over the world. And he wrote an amazing letter of chizuk. And he said something incredible. A pasuk that we all know. He said to all the brothers in Klal Yisrael, all the brothers and sisters, wherever you may be, a yid always has to remain strong. And then he said like this. Listen how he touched. Vahi erev, vahi voiker, yom echad. Vahi erev, the simple meaning is it was the evening, and then it was the morning, yom echad, day number one. The Rebbe said, Vahi Erev, there are some people that go through Erev, they go through darkness. And the same sister has a sister-in-law. Vahi Voike, there seems to be nachas, there seems to be afraid, there seems to be such happiness. Yoim Echad, it all comes from that one illumination, one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens, happens only because Hashem wants it to happen. In the same family, there could be Erev. In the same family, there could be Boiker. In the same family, there's darkness. But it's all the Avishta. The Avishta is doing it for a reason. Hopefully, one day we'll be able to understand the reason. But no Yid should be broken. Because the Rabbani Shlalom loves every single Yid. And that's the purpose of A-Time. That's the purpose of us coming together. To be mechazik each other. And to know that other people have had Yeshua's and Nechomais. And we will also, mitzvah, have Yeshua's and Nechomais. And it's just a question of hanging in there. But the Erev and the Voiker happens for a reason. Maybe the Eibishter needs a connection to us. A special connection. Whatever it is, maybe one day we'll figure it out. I remember when my father, Olav Shalom, was very, very sick. And I went to Washington Heights. That's where my father was in the hospital. I was staying by Rav Schwab together with my brother. Rav Schwab was the Rav in Washington Heights. He had been a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael many years before. And he knew my father, Olav Shalom. My father was a Talmud of his. So after Musaf, we went to the hospital. Then when I came back to Rav Schwab, he asked me, how's your father? And I said to him, I have betochen that he'll be well. And he said, betochen does not mean that your father is going to be well. Betochen means that there's a master plan, and hopefully one day you'll be able to understand it. Difficulties happen. But just because difficulties happen does not mean that that's a reason we should give up. Difficulties happen, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have faith that one day things will be good and one day we'll be able to understand why these things happen. Hopefully one day we'll understand it. Eoiv, who went through so much sorrows, asked the Rabbani Shalom, Rabbani Shalom, Shema Ruach Sa'ara Avra Lefanecha? Maybe there was a whirlwind and you got mixed up. My name is Eoiv, not Oyev. Why are you doing this to me? Aleph Yud Vav Beis is my name. Not Oyev, Aleph Vav Yud Beis. I'm not your enemy. So everybody has a right to ask, why me? Why is it happening? Why do I have to sit here? My brothers and sisters, they're buying Hanukkah presents for their kids and I'm sitting here. Why? You have a right to ask. Eoiv asked, why me? You could ask that. But we shouldn't be broken. Whatever the reason is, the ever connection the Eibishter wants us to have with him. It's a natural thing to have children. Animals have children. Goyim have children. Plants give birth. The Eibishter has changed the Teva for whatever reason. And so we have a special connection. For whatever reason, one day Mitzvah when Mashiach comes, we'll understand why. But never, ever to be broken. Just to hang in there, we know Vahi Erev, Vahi Voiker, Yoim Echad. It's that source of illumination. You know, I have a friend, his name is Rav Zev Smith. And Rav Zev Smith told me that he once went to visit Rav Mordechai Schwab. Rav Mordechai Schwab was the Mashgiach in Muncie. He was very, very sick already. And he was very pale. And Zev Smith told me that the family warned him, when you come, you're going to see that Nebuch, that he's not well. And don't be frightened. And he said, when he came in, he took one look at Rav Mordechai Schwab, and his face dropped because Rav Mordechai Schwab was so pale and frail. And Rav Schwab said to him, Zolzvisinich leb besimcha, I'm living in happiness. And he was wondering, how could he, what do you mean he's living in happiness? And he said, I couldn't go to Shul Yom Kippur. I would love to daven. But Hashem doesn't want me to daven for whatever reason. I didn't make myself sick. Hashem made it that way. And if that's what he wants, then he said, Chayim b'tzoynoi, I'm living the life that he wants me to live. And if that's what he wants me to live, I'm okay with that. He says, I can't learn anymore. I get headaches if I learn. You don't think I would want to learn? I didn't cause myself not to learn. Hashem put that illness in me. And so therefore, Ichleb Chayim b'tzoynoi, Kirega ba'apoi Chayim b'tzoynoi. A person who goes through a difficult time has to know Chayim b'tzoynoi. This is what Hashem wants. And if this is what Hashem wants, we accept it. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to find every doctor and go through every procedure, every cycle, everything that we have to do. But it doesn't mean that that's a punishment. For whatever reason, the Eibishter wants, we should go through with that Chayim b'tzoynoi. We're here together to give each other chizuk, and we're going to make it together. But we shouldn't be broken because of it. And I believe that we have to take advantage of opportunities. I hate to use the word childless. You're not childless. You're child-free. Right now, you're child-free. And if you look at it that way, then you'll take a look at your Yerushalmi in Kedushin. You won't believe. And you won't believe the Yerushalmi in Adoram. And I'm going to tell you exactly where it says so you could look it up. Yerushalmi Kedushin Dalid, Perek Dalid, Ois Yud Beis, and Yerushalmi Nedarim, Perek Ches, Ois Aleph. Osid Odom Litein Din V'Cheshbin, Al Kol Sheros, Ein Avelo Yoichal. You're going to have to give a Din V'Cheshbin for all the stuff that was in this world and you didn't have enjoyment of it. You didn't need everything. Now, you're not supposed to get overweight, we know that. But we're talking about Hashem gave us pleasures. Now's the time to travel. You ever see the beautiful mountains in Colorado? Did you ever go to Cape Town, South Africa, which has got nothing itself except for Eretz Yisrael? I guarantee you, most of you haven't been to Chile, one of the most beautiful countries in the world. Go to the north, go to the south. One place it's like Arizona, another place it's like Alaska. It's unbelievable, that country. Now's the time when you're child-free and you don't have the obligations. Take a vacation. Have a good time. Go to every restaurant. Oh, when when the babies cry at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to the restaurants in Manhattan. Right? If you have the money, enjoy life. Now's the time to enjoy life. It's Hashem, things are gonna change. And you're gonna have to do diapers 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you're not gonna be able to do all this stuff. Then you're gonna kick yourself. Ah, I should have gone to Cape Town. Ah, I should have gone to New Hampshire. I should have gone to Colorado. You ever been to Vancouver? It's gorgeous. Gotta be there. You know what it says in the Dorim? You don't have enough isurim, you got to make more chumras. Why do we have to make the chumra of the month? What does that say? Just the opposite. Maybe she wants you to enjoy life. If you're child-free, take advantage. With Hashem, the kids will come. You'll get a treatment, you'll have triplets, you won't even know what hit you. Say, oh my goodness. Why didn't I listen to what he said? Your head will be spinning. It's Hashem, I give you a bracha, all your heads should be spinning. No rachmanis. Amen is right. And it's going to happen sooner than later. But right now, now's the time to take advantage. Do things that other people cannot do. You have the money. You have the time. Don't only focus on what's negative. Focus on what's positive. And send me a postcard from wherever you are. And finally, I want to tell you something so precious. You know, there's a very interesting Balaturim. The Balaturim tells us in Shemois, you know, you're not allowed to count Yidden, Chas v'Shalom, could be an Ayin Horus. You have to give a machzitz a shekel. So the Pasuk tells us, v'nosnu ish koifen nafshay. A person has to give. Zokt, the Balaturim, v'nosnu, you can read it frontwards and backwards. Vov, nun, tof, nun, vov, backwards and forwards. It's like the word mom, pop, dad. I don't know, maybe somebody can tell me. David is a... Does anybody know what these words are called that you can read frontwards and backwards? Who knows? Palindrome, right. Now, I don't know, David is a palindrome, Dalet Vav Dalet, and his father Yishai is a palindrome. I don't know what that means, but, you know, David and Yishai, both are palindromes. I remember one time I was speaking about Stoker, because that's what the Balaturim says. V'nosnu, why is it a palindrome? Because when you give, Masha Odom Noisen, let Stoker Yachzir Elov, that which you give to others, you'll get back. So don't worry, if you give money, you give time, you give advice, you give encouragement, when you need it, it'll be there for you. That's why v'nosno, you read it back and forth. So I remember I was once speaking about Stoker, you know, to the younger grades in Eretz Yisrael. I had to speak in Hebrew. I can't speak to second graders, but the principal told me if I don't speak to the kids, he's not going to accept my child, my grandchild, into the school. So I had no choice. So I'm trying to explain a palindrome in Hebrew. Go explain it. Fine. So finally, I get the idea across. A kid raises his hand. He says, Rebbe, Hashem Shali Zegam came palindrome. My name is also a palindrome. I said, really? Ma Hashem Shalcha, Yitzi, Yud Sadek Yud. So I want to tell you a very interesting thing. You know, there's a tzaddikus. She lives in Manchester. Her name is Chavi Wachshel. Rebbe, it's Chavi Wachshel, Nebuch has MS. I'm sure the Weisses know her very well. They built a ramp for her home because she can't walk as Ogeret. They can't even get her up the stairs. But she's so brilliant that almost very many times, during the week, many, many women come to her home and she gives shiurim. She writes a whole newsletter every week. Just incredible. So I remember one time I was in Manchester. Actually, the first time I was there, somebody asked me to go visit her. I said, how can I visit her? I don't know her. No, go visit her. It'll be very special. So I go in to visit her. And she says, Rabbi Krohn, I know who you are. I know your tapes and your books. Could you do me a favor? I'm writing a book. Write me a letter for my book. I figured, who am I to write a letter? You need a big tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, somebody special. She says, no, I really want you to write me a letter. It means so much to me. I said, what are you writing about? She says, I'm writing about dealing with hardships. So how do you say no to a lady who's sitting in a wheelchair in front of 20 other ladies, right? So I figured, I know how I'm going to say no. I said, listen, I got to go in to speak soon. So why don't you send me the manuscript to New York? I figured I'll read it in New York. I'll call her on the phone. I'll say no. Over the phone, you could say no to anybody except, you know, Shaul Rosen. But otherwise, you can say no on the phone. It's easy, right? So I come home to New York afterwards. I take a look at this manuscript, and I'm crying through the whole thing. It's the most unbelievable book. It's called Facing Adversity with Faith. Facing Adversity with Faith. And she has from so many tzaddikim and so many gedolim that came to visit her. And it's by M. L. Kramer. She doesn't write her real name. At that time, she wrote with a pen name because she was afraid too many people would call her. She would be too tiring for her. I called her back. I said, Rebbetzin, it's a sefer kodesh ad miyoid. If you would allow me even to write a letter, I would be so honored to have my name associated with such a heilige sefer. And, of course, I wrote her a letter. And in there, she has one statement that's worth the whole book. Besides, the pages are tremendous. It tells us how to deal with difficulties with emunah and betochen. She writes like this, and she got this from a secular source. Any fool can count the seeds in one apple. But only Hashem, the highest power himself, can count the apples in one seed. And that's great. You don't have to be a big chacham to open up an apple and count the seeds. Any fool can count the seeds in one apple. But only Hashem, the highest power, knows how many apples there are in one seed. When you give chizuk to someone, when they really need it, you make them feel special. And because of that, they're able to fly. They're able to do wonderful things. Look at all the apples that grow from that seed of chizuk. From seeds, children grow. Maybe what we have to undertake is to do seeds of chesed. Because there's a very interesting Ovos Rav Nosson. The Ovos Rav Nosson in Perek Dalet Mishnah Hei tells us, one time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking outside Yerushalayim in his Talmud Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua said, Rebbe, look at the Beis HaMikdash, it's destroyed. How are we going to get kapara? How are we going to get forgiveness? Zok de Rebbe b'ni al yeiraloch. My son, don't worry. Yesh lanu kapara achas shehi kemoisa. There's one thing that we can do that's just as good as bringing kabbanas to get kapara. Ve'ezezeh, what is that? Gemilas chasadim. If a person does favors to somebody, that's what I want to see. Chesed, not karbonis. Many times a person will go over to people that have no children and say, you know what Sarah Schneer accomplished? You know what the Chazonish accomplished? You know what the Lubavitcher Rebbe accomplished? I got a secret. You don't have to be Sarah Schneer. You don't have to be the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You don't have to be the Chazonish. And most of us are not going to reach that level anyway. Nobody should put you on a guilt trip. But you know what you can be? You can be a balas chesed. You could help, and you could do things that other people cannot do. You don't have to start the Beis Yaakov movement. And you don't have to start the whole Chabad movement. And you don't have to write Shalos and Tshuvas. If you can, that's great. That's wonderful. But you could be there for some older people that nobody else has time for. And you could be there for the almana or for the single mother. And you can be there maybe even to take a little child to the doctor when the mother can't do it. You could plant seeds of chesed. And who knows, if you plant seeds of chesed, maybe apples in the ways of children will grow. Because when you plant a seed, you never know what kind of apples can grow. And you know what planting seeds of chesed is all about? Even when you validate someone, you take extra special time and you make somebody feel special. Now there's a machanach here from Darkei Torah who told me that he heard me tell this story, so I hope you don't mind my telling it over. I had it in my notes to tell it. It's one of the greatest stories you'll ever hear in your life. It tells us, what does it mean to do a chesed? What does it mean to validate someone? I can't believe this chassan in Eretz Yisrael told this story at his Sheva Brachas. He tells a story. He says, I want to tell everyone at my Sheva Brachas the turning point in my life. And he tells over as follows. He says he was in the fifth grade. And there was a little boy, let's call him Naftali. Naftali brought in a very expensive watch. The mother had told him, don't dare bring in that watch, you're going to lose it or break it. And the kid didn't listen, he wanted to show off the watch. He shows everybody the watch, everybody's handling it. And then finally it comes recess. Now this kid knows if he goes out on recess and he takes his watch, and it breaks, his mother will kill him. So he leaves his watch on his desk. He comes back after recess, Vayelad Einenu. The watch is not there. He starts crying, Rebbe, you got to help me, please. My mother will kill me if I didn't bring home the watch. Now, normally the Rebbe would go outside with the child. But today, it happened to be the Rebbe was just outside the class. So he saw there was no custodian, a Goyish custodian that came in that could have taken it. And there was no other kid from another class. It had to be somebody from that class who took it. So the Rebbe waits till everybody sits down and he says, Rabbeisai. It happens sometimes that somebody picks up something and puts it in his pocket. So anybody who put it in his pocket by mistake, please make sure and bring it up to the desk. And nobody moved. So the Rebbe said, you know, I feel bad. I don't want to have to do what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to line up everybody on the wall. And your hands will be, you know, put up on the wall and I'm going to go through your pockets. Today, of course, he would get arrested if he did that. But, you know, in that time when it happened, he was able to do it. And he said, I don't want to have to do that. So maybe, you know, when you saw the watch, you just picked it up and you meant to put it in your, you know, back on the desk, but you put it in your pocket by mistake. So maybe you did that. So it's okay. We understand. Just come forward and bring the watch. And nobody moved. So the Rebbe said, okay, I'm so sorry. Everybody line up. And the chassan says, we all lined up, all 20 boys in the class. And the Rebbe started going through the pockets. And by the third boy, the Rebbe had the watch. Because I was the third boy. But the Rebbe didn't stop there. He went and he checked the pockets of all the other 17 boys in the class. And after he finished with the 17th boy, he said, everybody could sit down. I have the watch. And the boy said, I was trembling. Because I knew the Rebbe knew that I took the watch. So I just wanted to see as I was walking to my seat. I wanted to see if the Rebbe was looking at me. And he wasn't even looking at me. So nobody would even have a havamina that it was me. And when I sat down and the Rebbe gave the watch back to the boy and he didn't say anything to me, I realized that he saved my dignity. He made me feel special. He didn't want to embarrass me. I swore to myself that one day I was going to be like him. Look at all the apples that Rebbe planted because of the seed of chesed that he did. That's part of chesed, validating someone. Let me tell you something. Chanukah is very difficult for an almana. Chanukah is very difficult for a single mother with children. No husband to bench Chanukah licht. The house is quiet. It's awful. Last year at this time, I spoke one of the most difficult speeches that I ever gave. They called me. They said there's a support group for almanas. It started with 5. They have 125. The night before Chanukah, 125 almanas came together and gave each other presents. Only by invitation could anybody be there. Pesach, everybody gets invited. Rosh Hashanah, everybody's in shul. Sukkot, you get invited. Who invites Chanukah? That's what you got to do this year, Chanukah. Think about somebody who's going to be alone. Not like you, Baruch Hashem, you have a husband. You have a spouse. Invite them for Hanukkah. Even with their children and their family, and they feel somebody cares for them. That's the seeds that you plant. That's the seeds that you plant, and the apples will grow. Because the Eibishter guarantees v'nosnu. That's why it's a palindrome. You give to others. You care for others. The Eibishter is going to care for yourself. And so I just want to end just with this thing. One of the most incredible stories. It happened with the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he had a Talmud who lived in a communist type of country. And he had to run away to another city, to another country. And many, many people were trying to run so that they should be able to be free. And they came to the place where there was this boat. And this boat was an old rickety boat. And many, many people were there with their children on the boat trying to get on to go to the other side. And as it was only a mile, everybody could see the shore on the other side. But about a quarter of a mile away from that country where everybody would have had freedom, all of a sudden the boat started cracking and breaking up. And when it started breaking up, everybody was looking for rafts, but there wasn't enough rafts. And this man was standing there holding his two children, and now he's in the water, and now he's got to swim with his two children. And it's impossible to swim with two children. And he's struggling, and he realizes that he's going to drown, and they're all three going to die. And he turns to his children, and he says, please be Michael me, but I've got to drop one of you, because otherwise we're all going to die. Please, it's such an awful thing, an awful decision for a father to make. Please forgive me, because we can't all die. And the older child says, save the younger one. I'm older, that's okay. You could drop me. And the younger one says, no, Tati, save the older one. I'm the younger one. He's a bigger tzaddik than I am. And the father, for whatever reason, he decides he's going to drop the younger one. And just as he's about to do that awful, awful thing of dropping the younger child, it's a little girl, and she cries out. She says, Tata, please, save me. Don't drop me. And the father lifts up the child. He can't drop her. And with strength that he didn't even realize that he has, he's somehow able to come forward, and he falls onto the shore, and he saves both kids, and he just drops, and he collapses. And when he gets up, his little girl goes over to him. She says, Tati, thank you. You saved my life. And the father says, I didn't save your life. You saved your life. Because when you cried out that second time, you gave me strength that I didn't even realize that I had. So it was you, with your cry, that you saved me. The Gemara says, Im Adam writes, Im Roya Adam Shispalav Loinena. The Gemara says in Brachos Lamed Beis, if somebody sees that he davened Hashem and he didn't answer, don't give up. Yazav Yispalel. Davened a second time. Shinema Kaveh El Hashem. Chazak V'yamis Ibecha V'kaveh El Hashem. Why does it say twice? Because maybe sometimes when we daven, Hashem doesn't have the strength, Kaveh Yachol, to save us. Because we don't have the schusim. Don't give up. Daven a second time. Kaveh El Hashem. And Tenu Ois Lelekim. That's what the Pasuk says. We have to give chizuk to Hashem. We have to give strength by showing Him that we believe in Him. That we care. That we'll never give up. And we're going to continue davening. And if we continue davening, we give Him the strength to save us. And it's just like that father who says to the child, it's not me who saved you. It's you, because you made that second effort. Let's all daven for each other. Let's all put in that second and that third effort. Let's never, ever give up. So that we should be zoicha, that eight times should go out of business, that everybody should have children and grandchildren, and we should be kaveh el Hashem, chazek v'yamis libecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. Let's say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's do all those things that we spoke about. Let's daven. And I just want to end, I got to end just with this great, great story, and with that we'll close. The Heilig Bava of a Rebbe, the day after Purim, he once went to a friend's house, Rabbi Zisha Folman. And Rabbi Zisha never had no children, 7 years already, he had no children. And the Rebbe was sitting there, Rabbi Zisha told me, he was waiting, the Rebbe should give him a bracha, he should have children. The Rebbe didn't say anything. Finally, the Rebbe's about to leave, he's chalishing. The Rebbe said, I gave you a bracha. He said, you gave me a bracha? What bracha? I didn't notice. He said, no, I had something to drink. And then I made a boire in the fashes. And boire in the fashes means lives should be created. So I had in mind that you and your wife should be able to create lives. He said, oh, Rebbe, I didn't realize when you said boire in the fashes, that's what you had in mind. So Rabbi Shmuel Horowitz, who was the Rebbe's gabbai, he's walking out with the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, what about me? I don't have children either. He said, I had you in mind. He said, you did? Rabbis means there should be a lot. And that year, Rabbi Zisha Fulman told me he had a little girl. That year, Rabbi Horowitz told me he had a little boy. And 18 years later, they married each other. From now on, every single time when we say Bayern of Foshes Rabbis, let's think of each other. Bayern of Foshes, that's going to be the new 8-time bracha. Every time we say Bayern of Foshes, let's think a new Anaya Kavana. Maybe she should create not only the Foshes for ourselves, Bayern of Foshes Rabbis. Everybody should have lots of children. Children, grandchildren. We should be Zeicha to dance together with Mashiach with our children and grandchildren. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.